Welcome to Joy of the Gospel, a renewal for parish life based on three principles: good community, good teaching and preaching, and good music. Unit 3, Leadership and Mission, is presented by Robert Falzon, founder of Men Alive.
I'm assuming, I know it's dumb to do that, but I'm assuming that when we talk about leadership and mission, or leaders for mission, we're talking about people who would accept that it's non-negotiable, 100% non-negotiable, to be a leader for mission and not pray every day, not read the scriptures, and not work with enthusiasm and effort towards a relationship with Jesus that we believe in and then can communicate to others and not keep for ourselves. Do you believe that as non-negotiable? If you do, please put your hand up. So we're in the same place. So I'm not going to talk about prayer, reading scripture, and relationship with Jesus necessarily, although that's prerequisite, co-requisite, and non-negotiable, okay? Agreed? We can move on. I'm going to make 5 points. I'm going to try and make 5 points that are things that I think are absolutely critical for leadership, for mission. Leadership for mission. There's all sorts of leadership, but this is about leadership for mission. We have the great leader, Peter, which we celebrate the solemnity of today. We have the great missionary, Paul, who we celebrate the solemnity today. And the church calls them the co-founders of the church. The church in the Missal says these are the co-founders of the church. Co-founders of the church. Leadership and mission. The foundation and the finding and the founding of our church. That's what it is. So the first point, point number one, let it be done. Whose words were those? Mary's words. Mary was a woman of what? Action. She did something. Like, here it is. Let me just present the story of Gabriel to you. And it's about us now. And the story that Gabriel would come and tell us is an absolutely impossible thing in the human person. Gabriel would say to us, hey, how about, guys, we have a parish. We have a parish that has a convincing, cogent message to the world. To those in the pews are getting evangelized. Those who come occasionally get evangelized. And those who don't come at all hear about us and want to come to us. I want you to give birth to that type of church. We go, you're joking. And Mary did it. Mary just said, the angel said, something impossible is going to happen to you and you're going to give birth to the Saviour of the world. Impossible. But she goes, okay, let's do it. Just do it. That's basically what she said to the angel Gabriel. It's impossible, but let's just do it. So leaders do something. Leaders do something. You know, it's the Acts of the Apostles. It's a verb, not an acronym. Acts of the Apostles. It's the things that happened after Pentecost. The things that happened to people, through people, for people. That's what happened. It's the Acts of the Apostles. It's a doing thing. So, when God made the human person, he didn't play it safe by making us small, stupid, mechanical, easy to control, low risk projects. He didn't do that. God rolled the dice with us, risked the highest possible stakes with us, his kingdom. God gave us so much of himself that he nearly made us like himself. So close to God that we were similar, so similar, but not God's. This has significant consequences. This has significant consequences for those who don't know that they've been made in the image and likeness of the Almighty. I was a businessman. I went out every day and tried to make money and sell things to people and convince them that they really needed to buy these things from my business. And I was involved in fitting out a lot of the hotels in Australia and then luxury yachts in Australia. And then we became the biggest in the Southern Hemisphere. But then one day I had this encounter with God in church. In 2003, I was sitting in Mass with my wife, not in 2003, we weren't 35 years married then, but whatever the maths is, we were married, we had four children, we were all in Mass, and it was the homily. And Father was into it, and I wasn't. I was a bit distracted. Anybody distracted during the homilies? Don't put your hand up. I was disinterested, a little bit dissipated, and disappointed. Disappointed with what we were offering to my children. Disappointed in the quality and the power of what was happening. Now that's partly my fault, right? Partly my faith problem, right? Partly my responsibility, right? But I was there looking and I was thinking to myself, and then I saw something that I decided to give the rest of my life to. I saw in the church that day a lot of old people with grey hair and some with purple in their hair. And I saw a lot of women and a few men, and mostly grey, some going bald like some of you fellas. And I thought to myself, where are all the men? Where did they go? What happened here? So I went to my bishop, knocked on his door, Archbishop John Battersby. I said, "Your Grace, it's a bloody disgrace. Haven't you seen this? Where are all the men in the church? What are you going to do about it?" That's a poor leadership statement, isn't it? And he said to me, pastorally brilliant, he said to me, "Robert, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it?" I took that as permission. And off I went and started something called Men Alive in 2003. I just started. I didn't have any resources. I didn't have enough degrees. I didn't have a title or a position. I didn't have any money. I didn't even have real permission. But I saw something that needed to happen in this glorious and beautiful, beautiful church of ours. That wasn't happening. We were losing our men. And we didn't even know it was happening. The thief had come to steal, kill and destroy. We forgot that the kingdom, we came to have life. The thief had stolen something from our garden that we didn't know what to do about. I didn't know what to do about. So I went off and started something called Men Alive. 15 years later, we've done 400 events in this Church of Australia and New Zealand, 300 in parishes. We've been in 26 dioceses running parish missions and reached 22,000 men. Let me make it ACT contextual. 50 parishes in the Church of Canberra Goulburn. 50 parishes you've got. Men Alive have done 20 parish missions in 50 out of 50 parishes. And the numbers are Father Tony will tell you about next tomorrow, but we've reached 700 men in this region. How many people in this room have experienced, seen, heard, or been a part of parish-based weekend by Men Alive? Please put your hand up nice and high. Yep. And or your husband's been a part of it. Put your hands up as well. So that number's increasing drastically. Yeah, thank you. So we didn't have much, but what we did have was a cause, an idea, a passion, and a call. So as the Father sent me, so now I'm sending you. Who is the you? Us, that's correct. We just went on parish mission. Who knew how to do parish mission? I didn't. So what do when we don't know? Try. We try. So we go and do a parish mission. And we did it. Okay job. Okay job. 86 guys came to our first mission. We thought, what? We were preparing for 20. That's what you get when you try to run a thing for men in your parish. 86 guys. We thought, we'll change a few things. We'll polish a few things. We'll make them a little bit more professional and we'll make them a little bit more theological and we'll try and be orthodox. Anyway, so we did that, all of those things. And then we did another parish mission. And then what we just kept on doing was going wherever we were asked. We have 51 parish events this year. 51. The maths is one a week. 51 parish events. So, a call to mission for leaders is a call to do something. the lid, the thing that's stopping us doing those things, are these things. These are the things that are in my heart. I'm too busy, we're already doing so much, I can't fit another thing in. Heresy. It's only the right things that you can't fit in sometimes, isn't it? That's what I was doing. I was going out making money and being really busy, and there's nothing wrong with that. The church likes us to make money. It's a good thing making money, right? But what I did was I saw a need, I sold my business, and I went full-time volunteer lay missionary. Full-time, no pay, volunteer lay missionary. I've been doing that since 2003. And so have a whole lot of other people. I'm too busy. I'm only a layman. I'm only a laywoman. I'm only a parish priest. What difference could I make? It's a heresy. I'm only too young. I'm too old. I don't have a degree. I'm too sinful. I'm too ordinary. I'm just an uneducated fisherman. Join the club. It's too broken. It's too broken. Can't possibly fix the mess we're in. It's their fault. They messed it up. So let them fix it. Wrong. Wrong. It's our job. Yes, I know. It is really, really hard. And sometimes it's cost more than everything. Sometimes. It's really hard. But I know that you are more robust than that. Point number two. Are you ready? Quo vadis, which way? And then which way, but why which way? You know, great leadership is clear about why. It's clear about purpose. If we listen to this and write it down, if you're not going to write anything down today, write this down because this is more important than anything else you've heard. If we lose our why, we lose our way. If we lose our why, we lose our way. Can I say it one more time? It's so important. If we lose our why, our purpose, we lose our direction, we lose how where we're going to go. Our why is our mission. The three quotes that you have on your table, there for this session, I put them there specifically because they're three brilliant, all of them are brilliant, but these three are speaking to this: Evangelii Nuntiandi, Redemptoris Missio, Evangelii Gaudium. Three great documents, and there is no lack of clarity in these documents. There is no confusion about what our why is. There is no confusion about what our mission is. The church exists to evangelize. The church must commit all its energy, all its resources, all its action, all its enthusiasm to proclaim Christ to people. I could go on and on about that, and I'll just try to stick to time because Tony will kill me. If we lose our way, we lose our why. Our why is our mission. This is why we exist. It is to reach those in the pews already with a fresh heart. That's called the new evangelization. Those of us who believe in Christ but have lost our fervor, lost our fire, lost our enthusiasm for the gospel, the new evangelization is for us to get re-fired up, reanimated to the gospel. To reach those who come occasionally. Christmas, Easter, sacraments. Reach those people. And to reach those who don't come at all, but if we change the way we do some things, they might come. They might come. If the bishop preaches like that, there will be people coming who don't even belong to our flock, but might be interested in what we've got to do if we preach that way. What I want to say about that? Commit to the why and make it non-negotiable. Commit to the why. Everything needs to be sifted through the why. If we get new ideas, they all have to be sifted through the why. Why do we exist? That's where our sift is. Whatever we do and all the resources we have to be committed to the why. To the why. If we've got this much money and this many people, then we're dedicating all of it and all of it to something else. We need to dedicate it. And this is a commission from our popes now, dedicating. Modify our infrastructure for our why. Modify our energy for our why. Modify our resources for our why, and not the other way around. Not modify the why to fit the resources. It's challenging, I know, and it sounds impossible. Modify structure, I said that. Let me say it again. The why is the action of reaching people with the joyful brilliance of the gospel's good news that God is love. At the end of St. John's life, right at the end of his life, he's an old man now. John writes some letters. One of the last letters that John writes, he's writing to a community who he's been working with, and John writes these words, and he's trying to summarize the whole of the gospel in the simplest possible way so that he can be powerful and cogent and reach people. And he goes, hey, people, all right, you've heard all the theology. Now let me just tell you this simple thing. God is love. Full stop. Bam. It's powerful, isn't it? Number three, the lid in that area is this. We've got spiritual amnesia. We've forgotten why we exist, why we gather, why we pray, why we go forth, why we are walking around that wretched mountain over and over again. Let's not let that stop us. And let's not let the how stop us. You know, the big stopper of the why is this. You come up with the simple why, and then what happens is someone goes, well, how are we going to do that? Well, that's a big stopper, isn't it? Big stopper. Do not let the how stop the why. When you hear someone go, this is what we should do and why, this is our why, instead of how, go, wow. Wow, that's brilliant. We'll find a way to do that. Let's stop being the how people that stops things. How about Philip? How about Philip and Jesus? Just after Jesus has been preaching to 5,000, you know, Philip goes to Jesus and goes, Jesus, hey, Jesus, these guys have been hanging around for 3 days. You talked a long time, like the bishop. And they've been hanging around a long time. They're all hungry. Send them away so they can get some food. And Jesus goes, you feed them. And he goes, how? We've got nothing. And Jesus says, feed them. I've got a couple of fish and some bread. And it's all stale and stinky now because it's been days we've been out here. We've got nothing. Jesus says, feed them. Don't be confused by the how. Because there is a way. There is a why. Let's keep going and they're going to cut me off. Number three. No, I've still got 5 minutes to go. So leave me alone. Number three is what the bishop was talking about. Number three is about preaching, proclamation, and communication. You know, like, where is the beauty? Where is the art? Where is the poetry? Where are the great preachers? Like our bishop. Where has this cogent communication gone? And why have we lost it? Where is it? Why have we lost it? Every moment in church renewal in the history of the whole church has begun with a new voice speaking into the chaos and emptiness like the first creation, Genesis 1 and 2. God spoke and it was. When God speaks, things happen. Preceding the great eras of renewal and refreshment in the life of the church and its action for the world, there's always been a new proclamation and a new Pentecost of preaching and communicating. All the great moments and movements were marked by a renewal of great preaching, starting with John the Evangelist, John the Baptist. Then Jesus, of course, the Word himself became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Then Acts 2, St. Peter, St. Stephen, St. Paul, and then St. Ambrose converting St. Augustine in the year 400, St. Patrick, St. Benedict, and then the great Byzantine, the great thing, St. Dominic, the order of preachers just then in that era, and St. Francis almost straight after that thing was built. Pope Francis, Pope John Paul II, and now 2018. Is it going to be one of you? It could be. Could be in this era, one of you. I'm going to have to skip a couple of things and go to the last point, second last point. Second last point is responsibility. Please have mercy on me just for a few moments. Second last point is responsibility. I won't go into great detail, but responsibility. Leaders need to be responsible. Whose job is it anyway? Whose job is it anyway? Responsibility means response-able, the ability to respond. Leaders have to take responsibility. This is an era of new renewal and evangelization and mission. This is an era where we have to be responsible. And whose job is it? Do you need a title to be responsible?